Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank goodness it's folk. Every Friday, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and worldwide at www.sheffieldlive.org.
Where the dazzlies are followed.
Is it even the Christmas period until you've heard Matty Pryor with the Carnival Band? That's from Tapestry of Carols, of course, and is Pertinent Hoodie. I love playing that piece of music. Well, we had Brian Finnegan talking about his wonderful new record, Shepherds, in the first half. And in the second half, I'm delighted to bring you an interview with Rob Harbron, wonderful concertina player and general good egg, and part of the musicians now for Boss Morris, who are a all-female Morris side from Stroud and are celebrating this week the release of a new record called Boss Morris, featuring the music and dance in the background. of the Boss Morris side, and it is beautiful indeed. We're going to hear the opening track from it now. You can get this record, if you order it by Monday, you will receive a copy in the Christmas post, according to the website. The website is bossmorris.bandcamp.com. You can have a listen to the record first, and you can then either buy a digital download or a physical copy. And as I say, if you order it by Monday, you should have it round about Christmas, if not for Christmas. So let's hear the opening track now. It's a tune by Rob. It's called Filberts. And after that, you'll hear from Rob Harbron talking about Boss Morris, about his involvement with that, and his involvement with Miranda Rutter and her beautiful album Bird Tunes. We'll talk to him about all of that and hear another track as well. Here's Filberts from Boss Morris. It's lovely to be able to play you some new Morris music recorded especially for Boss Morris by the musicians of Boss Morris. And you may well have heard of them. They are Miranda Rutter, Sam Sweeney, and my guest for this second half of Thank Goodness It's Folk today, my good friend and former colleague, Rob Harbron. And it's lovely to have Rob on the line. Rob, that was a tune of yours called Filberts. And congratulations to all of you on producing an album of Morris music. Many of the things you've recorded in your long career have been associated with Morris dancing. But this is, as far as I'm aware, one of the first records of all dance music for a Morris side that you've been involved with. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Hi, Dave. Thanks for talking to me.
Lovely
to
pleasure.
To you.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, I've had chance to do various things with Morris over the years. The first thing actually was a thing called Morris Offspring, which is Laurel Swift's project, which I was part of along with the English Acoustic Collective back
that's
in
right.
2005, I think. And then I also got a chance to do an amazing Estes project, in which I got to play solo for Morris in the Royal Albert Hall.
How about that?
Which is quite a thing, yeah. But in more recent years, yeah, I've been really lucky, along with Sam and Miranda, to be the three regular musicians for Stroud's all-female progressive Morris side, Boss Morris. For the last, I guess, about 3 or 4 years, we've been the sort of regular musos. And it's been a great thing. They're a fantastic bunch of people and great dancers. But it's been really nice to kind of go a bit deeper, in a way, into the Morris thing.
Yeah.
You know, sort of playing the same dance every week or going out and, you know, sort of seeing how it's different in different contexts. It's really great.
Rob, I'm going to assume that some of the people who have just turned on Thank Goodness It's Folk today are driving around Sheffield and they've never listened to Thank Goodness It's Folk before, and we have to assume that they're neither folkies nor know what Morris dancing is, although most people who aren't dancers or even folkies seem to have a stereotypical image of what English Morris dancing is. So maybe you could just tell them what the difference between traditional Morris dancing and progressive Morris dancing is for the for the newcomer to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, the classic picture of Cotswold Morris dancing, I mean, the first thing to say, actually, there are loads of different traditions of Morris dancing from all over England and beyond, I think you could say. The classic one that people picture is the, you know, they're all dressed in white and the hankies and sticks and the baldricks, which are the sort of the, you know, ribbony harness things almost that kind of cross over. And that's Cotswold Morris. So it was mostly collected in Gloucestershire and Oxfordshire and a few of the neighbouring counties. And I guess you could say it's a continuous tradition in that people have kept doing it.
Yeah.
But other types of Morris people might have seen, for example, there's Northwest Morris, which is done with clogs and sort of bells and garlands. In fact, longsword could be described as a type of Morris. That's a sword dance from Yorkshire.
Indeed.
Famously done just north of Sheffield, and various other things. So, you know, even the Carnival Morris, as it's called, from the Northwest, which is much more of a sort of a glitzy kind of pop culture affair.
Yeah.
It all broadly falls into the territory of Morris dancing, which is basically, I mean, the origins are disputed. Some people are convinced it's a kind of ritual thing, you know, kind of fertility rite and so on. I think there's sort of this increasing school of thought that actually it was probably more of a entertainment thing.
Right.
Kind of a showing off, you know, and also there was definitely a link to entertainment for partly for busking and for, you know, kind of trying to gather some money, but also as a thing that was actually paid for by courts or by rich benefactors.
Sure.
And I think that's what Boss Morris really take their inspiration from, is the idea that it can be entertainment and it can be glitzy and exciting, and just because it always was done generally by men in white, it doesn't need to stay like that. And, you know, the idea of women dancing Morris is certainly not new at all. I mean, it's been happening, you know, since the sort of the folk revival. And I think the history of it would suggest that, you know, a few hundred years ago, it probably wasn't an all-male thing in the way that it may have become.
If I saw Boss dancing and I knew my sort of Cotswold, what would I notice, apart from the fact that it's women and it's maybe a bit glitzy and a bit modern? What specifically would make it progressive to watch?
You would really notice that they weren't wearing traditional white kit.
Okay, yeah.
They are all kind of makers and craftspeople.
Yes.
And they delight in making some amazing kits and costumes, including a lot of kind of, you know, beasts and animal characters that are sort of, you know, one dancer will wear the boar or the pig or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just generally makes it a really exciting thing visually for people to see.
Absolutely. And that has caught the attention, hasn't it, Rob, around the country. And you know, it's no secret that Boss Morris have appeared on billboards and in fashion magazines because they...
Very much.
Is that a source of good humour amongst the women?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of amazing that by being a Morris dancer, you get to appear on a billboard or in a fashion magazine, which, you know, which is kind of, there's a great irony to that.
But I
think to sum up what makes their dancing kind of progressive as opposed to traditional is just really that they're looking to stretch boundaries.
Yes.
They're keen to try new things.
Yeah.
Find new ways of doing it and hopefully connect with new audiences in doing so.
Excellent, Rob. Well, I'll ask you a bit more about Boss Morris in a minute because we're going to hear another tune from the record and talk about how people can get involved. But just before we do that, I'd like to hark back to an album that you were involved in both playing and helping to produce with Miranda Rutter. It was one of my very favourite albums released in 2024, and we talked to Miranda on this program about it. It's called Bird Tunes, and briefly, Miranda spent months engaging with local bird life and recording bird song, but not just recording them, she actually started to map them and write tunes as closely as she could, inspired by the actual bird calls, and then see how they could be developed into dance tunes. It's a beautiful project. I saw it at Folk East, I think, and was completely transported by it. I think it's a beautiful live performance as well as a recording. And we talked to Miranda at the time about what a big thing it was for her to have this record out in the world. And despite her continuous involvement with music and her love of collaborating and playing for dancers and playing with other people, it was very thrilling to see her name alongside some beautiful species of birds on a solo record. I know that you're very proud of it, and you're very proud of Miranda for making it, and I'd like you to choose a track. But I wonder if you just want to, at this tail end of the year of 2024, just reflect on the importance of that record for you both.
Yes, it was a really lovely project to help come into the world. And in fact, I mean, Miranda is my partner, so I had the fortunate position of hearing it evolve way before the recording process actually started. You know, hearing her come back with these little recordings of birdsong and sort of gradually start to see the key technological thing was a little bit of software that allowed her to slow them down just by 10 or 20%. But just that difference means you can actually make sense of them and start to put some musical elements into it. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
So hearing it evolve was amazing. But the other thing that I loved on a personal level was just that, I mean, I've always tried to recognize birdsong. And there's always that thing that every spring it feels like you're starting all over again.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, what is that? Oh, yeah, it's a robin. That's right. thanks to hearing these little snapshots and snippets of birdsong being looped again and again, I actually have internalized a lot better a lot of the sort of the birdsongs that I hear around here, which has been a lovely thing. But musically, it was an amazing thing to do. And
yeah.
It's sort of having that outside inspiration and this kind of link to something physical, I guess, and something quite magical as well.
Definitely.
Really helped. I think it helped her make some tunes that really did something quite special. I think part of it as a composer, you know, you can often, you struggle for belief sometimes. You know, you write this little tune and you kind of think, well, is this any good? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's no different to all the other tunes that are out there. But if your tune is echoing the song of a blackbird, it's kind of, you know, you're just thinking about the blackbird.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rob, let's hear a track from Bird Tune. It's an absolutely beautiful track. And this is one of the few species, if not the only one, that it wasn't recorded in your local neck of the woods. And this comes from a recording made by Miranda's sister of an Australian butcher bird known in an indigenous local language as the Woodwood. Anything you want to say about this track before we hear it?
Miranda's sister lives in Australia. And yes, she sent this recording from literally from the bottom of her garden. What a sound to wake up to.
Absolutely.
And this really was the tune that inspired Miranda to do the project. This was the first bird tune, and what a song it is.
Thank you.
Miranda Rutter from the wonderful album Bird Tunes. I would urge you to look it up on Bandcamp and get yourself either a physical copy, if there are any left, or a digital download. We watched in amazement as they flew off the table at Folk East, Robin. You sold out on the spot. Are there physical copies available again?
Yes, there are. There are still some copies, not a huge number, good, but there are copies left for now.
Right. Well, there's a lovely link as well to the new album, which has just come out. It's available on Bandcamp, and people can get it now. It's called Boss Morris. It's the music associated with this 10-year-old wonderful women's dance team from the Stroud area. And my guest, Rob Harbron, is one of the musicians involved, along with Miranda. We've just heard Miranda and Sam Sweeney. And together, they are the regular musicians. It must be a lovely thing, Rob, as it is for me to do a regular folk program, to do something in your local community. You've been on the road most of your adult life as a musician. It must be really lovely getting involved in something just down the road that is a regular thing.
It is really nice, although there are sort of surprise consequences. Like, for example, people you meet out when you're out walking go, "Ooh, you were on the front of the local paper this week." So there's a kind of level of local recognition that I had never quite bargained on.
Did you say if you spend your life learning bassoon and concertina, you could be on the cover of a newspaper
exactly.
too?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a classic combination.
As a professional musician, and you too can end up on the front of the Stroud News.
Brilliant. Rob, the it's very exciting having an album out. You said it's on Bandcamp, and there'll be physical copies soon of the Boss Morris music, won't there?
Yes, that's right. The physical copies are with us any day now, and people can listen on Bandcamp. They can buy the digital album or the CD on Bandcamp. It was a really lovely thing to make this, because we were just given the use of a really nice space just outside Stroud for a few days this summer or last summer. And we just kind of thought, well, we've just got to do it, haven't we? We've just got to sit and play some tunes for a few days. And some of the tunes had dancers on. You can hear the jingling bells and the sticks.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because presumably, no matter how good you are at it, it does change when you've actually got physical dancers in front of you. And was that part of the process on some of the tracks?
Yes, it was, yeah. I mean, some of the tracks are more interpretive. You know, they're our interpretations of Morris dance tunes. But the ones where there are actually dancers in the room, yes, it does. It affects your tempo. Obviously, you have to play at the right speed. And, of course, there's not just one right speed.
Mm.
You know, there are multiple right speeds, and it's about finding the right one in that moment.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that. We didn't want to go all the way with that and make the whole album of us playing four dancers in the room, just because, you know, it might not actually have been quite such a good listening experience.
Sure.
You know, for that reason, you know, if you're playing for Morris dancing, you generally have to adapt and adjust as you go along. Sometimes you hold a beat back to make it appear that all the feet landed at the same time, or you have to leap ahead a little bit, you know, just cut
indeed
a little bit of gap. And indeed, I don't think that would have made great listening. So we did include dancing on just a few tunes, but mostly it's dance-inspired music for listening.
What a lovely way to describe it. It does. And I love that it's a mixture of, so we say, the interpretive, like you said, and the really playing for dance. It sounds great. Mm. I'm really delighted that you've sent it to us, and thank goodness it's folk. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people around the country, if not the world, who are interested, very interested to hear what music you've produced. And we've already heard one track, and there's a link directly to Miranda and to Bird Tunes that we've just heard. And I wonder if you could end this little segment on Boss Morris and the music you've made by introducing this piece of music for us, Rob.
Yes, so this tune was a bird tune, actually. It was one of Miranda's bird tunes, and it went down so well with the Boss Morris side that they decided they would make a new dance to go with it. So it's a brand new Morris tune, and it's called the Golden Blackbird Jig, originally inspired by the song of a blackbird. But now a Morris tune for Boss Morris.
What a lovely tie-in. Rob, thanks for being on Thank Goodness It's Folk. Give our love to Miranda and ours to you as well.
Hello.
Have a good Christmas. And we hope to see you and Miranda and Sam and Boss Morris sometime in the new year. Look after each other.
Thank you.
I think you're unlikely to hear a more beautiful album of Morris dance tunes than that in your lifetime. That is Boss Morris. The musicians were Rob Harbron, who I was just speaking to, Miranda Rutter, and Sam Sweeney. And I think that is going to travel worldwide, that record. Absolutely beautiful. And if you can catch Boss Morris dancing this summer, I'm sure you'll enjoy it too. Right. Rob mentioned the English Acoustic Collective. I haven't played this track for a while. It's stunning. This is Bleary Winter, recorded by the English Acoustic Collective, tune by Chris Wood, and words by Hugh Lupton. The Three Danish Galleys, sung by Holly and the Reavers. That's Holly Clark with Bernie Armstrong and Mel Harbron. And the album is called Three Galleys, and you can get it on Bandcamp or from Burnham Records. I chose that partly because I love Holly Clark's voice and partly because they also recorded on that album a cover version of Bleary Winter, which I played just before that. Some American music for you now, and we're going to start with the great Doc Watson and Clarence Ashley with their classic version of Walking Boss, and after that, something from the brilliant record that Martin Simpson made with Tom Jutts and the incredible singer Odessa Settles. From Nothing But Green Willow, we'll hear Pretty Sarah.
Walking Boss, Walking Boss, Walking Boss, well, I don't belong to you. I belong to that steel driving crew. Work one day, just a day, then go lay in a shanty too. Oh, walking boss, walking boss, walking boss, well, I don't belong to you. I belong to that steel driving crew. Well, ask that boss for a job, just a job. He says, son, what can you do? I can pull a jack, line a track. I can pick and shovel too. Work one day, just a day, then go lay in the shanty too.
To this country in 1849, I saw many fair lovers, but I never saw mine. I view it all around me, I found myself alone, and me a poor stranger and a long ways from home. My love, she won't love me. Yes, I do understand. She wants a freeholder, and I've got no land, but plenty to maintain her on silver and gold, and as many other fine things as my love's house can hold. Fare thee well to my mother, and adieu to my old father too. I'm a-going to ramble this whole world all through, and when I get tired, I'll sit down and weep and think on my darling, pretty Sarah, my sweet. Mm-hmm. down in some lonesome valley, down in some lone place, where the small birds do whistle, their loads to increase. But when I get sorrow, I'll sit down and cry and think, oh my darling, my darling, so now. I wish I were a poet and could write some fine hand. I would write my love a letter that she might understand. I would send it by the water where the island overflowed. And I think, oh my darling, wherever I go, I wish I were a dove and had wings and could fly this night to my love's window. I would draw nigh, and in her little white arms all night I would lay and watch in little windows to the dawning of day.
Thank you.
Beautiful new music from the Germund Larsen Trio. Germund Larsen is an exceptional Norwegian fiddle player, and you just heard his new trio album, which is called Christmas Sessions, and from it we heard Det Kimmer Nær til Julfest, The Happy Christmas Comes Once More. Right then, you've been listening to Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. The whole show will be available now if you click on Mixcloud and you missed the interview with Brian Finnegan, or listening to some of the wonderful tracks from his new record, Shepherds, or indeed if you missed Rob Harbron talking about the brand new brilliant album by Boss Morris. It's fantastic, and you should get a copy of both of them. You can find them both on Bandcamp. Let's have something from The Little Unsaid.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long time ago. Angels and dark may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim all thronged the air, but only his mother in her maiden bliss would worship her. Frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long, long time ago.
I remember when I first drove with my dad up to Grass Valley, 4 hours north of San Francisco, just outside Nevada City. The road winding through those dry brown hills of gold country. I was 10 years old and happy, out of school a week early. People playing neath the pines, heard the music floating from the stage. our tent and walked around. My heart opened to the sound. I didn't know it then, but my life turned a page. Standing round, jamming to the sound of Little Annie. Baptized in the campgrounds of Grass Valley. Deadheads in tie-dye ray, dog music devotees like nothing I had ever heard or seen. Jam grass for the hippies, old stuff from the 50s, just about nothing in between. I stood and tried to play along, though I only knew a couple songs, while Boulder Kids sat in with the band. I watched and envied from afar, head bowed down over my guitar, praying to catch that magic in my hands. Standing round jamming to the sounds of Little Annie. Baptized in the campgrounds of Grass Valley. Songs being played, singing in the shade of the pine trees. A shy kid with a mandolin, I could see her on the sideline staring at me. She looks just like I did the first time that I came to Grass Valley. Standing round jamming to the sounds of Little Annie. Baptized in the campground. Grass Valley.
Molly Tuttle, Grass Valley. Well, I'm going to leave you today with a song from Ray Fisher's wonderful album, The Bonnie Birdie. This is Silky of Salisbury. I have digitised it, Nikki Campbell, and I'm playing this for you. I wish you all a very happy Christmas, although I will see you before then, here on Thank Goodness It's Folk. Take care.
Unearthly Nourish sits and sings, and I she sings, Baba Lily Wayne. For little can I, my bairnie's father, far less the land that he dwells in. And he was there at her bed food, and a grumly guest, I am sure 'twas he, saying, here am I, thy bairnie's father, although I be not comely. I was na weel, quo' the maiden fair. I was na weel, indeed, quo' she, when the grey silky, O Salisbury, did come and brought a bairn to me. But I'm a man upon the land, and I am a silky in the sea. But when I'm far and far from a land, my home scary. Then he's ta'en out a purse o' gout, and he has thrown it upon her knee, saying, "Gee to me, my bonny wee son, and tack thee up thy newer's fee, for it'll come to pass on a summer's day, when the sun shines hot upon every stain, that I will tack my bonny wee son, and I'll teach him for to swim the fane. And thou shalt marry a proud gunner, and a proud gunner I'm sure he'll be, but the very first shot that ever he shoots, he'll kill both your young son and me.